This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 390, how Lucas stayed calm for nines on his IELTS exam.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show.
Today, you'll meet Lucas, a stellar Three Keys student, and find out how he nailed nines in reading and listening and 7.5 in writing and speaking. Listen and learn, lovely IELTS candidates. Hello, IELTS Energy listeners. We have a very special guest today. Who are you? Why are you here?
So my name is Lucas. I'm here because I'm being invited for you guys to speak about my writing results, and I'm not sure I'm speaking about the IELTS results I recently got as well.
Yes. Heck yeah, you're speaking about your IELTS results. They were amazing. So guys, Lucas is a student in our course, and he was recently the Wizard winner. Listeners, if you have been following us for a while, you know that once a month we do a writing contest for the students in our course, and Lucas was the winner. But that's not even why he's here today. I mean, partly, but the main reason is because he got amazing results. I know, Lucas, you wanted a higher results than you got, but let's talk about that. So first of all, what were your most recent IELTS scores?
Okay, so this was my first IELTS test, I said. And I got a 9 in reading, and both reading and listening, and a 7.5 in both writing and speaking.
That's incredible. Like, okay, so you had never taken the test before. This was your first try.
No, that's my first try.
That's amazing. So you wanted a little bit higher, though. Tell us what you were aiming for.
Yeah, I was aiming for an 8 in each band. It's because I intend to apply for a visa to Australia, and it has to do with how many points you get for for a 7 band or an 8 band. So studying what my track right now, what I do right now. But yeah, it was great results. It's too bad it wasn't just what I needed, but
sure.
Yeah, still great. Yeah,
still amazing. Guys, so a 9 in reading and listening, a 7.5 in writing and speaking. These are amazing results. I mean, if anyone could like take IELTS just like for the first time and hit this level, it's incredible. Okay. So let's give our listeners a couple tips, all right, about especially what helped you hit that 9 in reading and listening. Let's start with reading. What do you feel like helped you the most on test day?
Okay, so reading was when I really just followed the system. I did nothing else, and I even confused myself at some parts when I didn't read the text. So basic mistake there, but I just strictly followed the rules. So just underlining keywords and not wasting time in any question. So all that skimming and scanning and looking for details, that's just what I did really.
Okay, cool. Are you a reader, Lucas? Like, did you do a lot of, like outside reading before the exam?
I'm not a reader in the sense of reading books from the beginning to the end of it. I always had trouble reading whole books. It's just that I look for a specific information or stories and I just read it while I'm enjoying it. But I do read mm-hmm. quite a while, like articles or anything I find interesting.
Okay. So it sounds like you might like start a lot of books but then not finish them. Is that the case?
Yeah. I have a huge list of that, yes.
But you do enjoy reading like newspaper articles, like sort of shorter things.
Yes, I always get drawn by like news scientific articles or, I don't know, some planet someone recently discovered. And then
That is so cool, by the way. It's like, yes. What is it, like three planets that we discovered that like might, I say we as a human race, yeah. And they yeah, might, race, yeah. like they might have life, like they orbit a sun, like similar sort of situation to Earth, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, like it's just one example. It's like, it can be like even about soccer or judo, things that I enjoy. Realized if I like it, I do spend a few minutes reading it. Yes, and when I was studying for IELTS specifically, you kind of do an extra effort to be reading every time you can.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been writing a lot of articles about the reading test lately, and one of the themes that like carries through between like all of the advice that we give is, you're never going to be 100% sure of your answers. Did you feel that way on the test?
Yes, but not that much, because I did like this 4 or 5 days of mock exams at home before mm-hmm. the test. And I went through it, just what you're saying, during the mock exams simulation I did at home. So I started to analyze my answers and the ones I got wrong. Yeah. And I noticed it that like most of the times I got it wrong because I was overthinking it or
yes.
just spending too much time on it. And then you kind of learn the patterns of your own mistakes. And then yeah. if you're accustomed to it, you're used to it, you tend not to do as many mistakes.
Yeah, totally. Guys, come back to our blog. This is episode 390. I will link to an article called Working Backwards. And this is what Lucas is talking about, essentially. Being able to look at the answers first sometimes and then figure out why it's the answer. Look at, like Lucas said, the patterns, right? There's certain parallel expressions. There's a certain way that IELTS tries to trick you or tries to hide things. And working backwards, maybe after you've already maybe missed some, or looking at the answers first, this is extremely helpful. Okay, awesome. So listening, so reading, you said follow the system. Like that's the main thing for reading, right? Like you just need strategies, you need test practice. It's all about time management. But what about listening? What do you think in your preparation, what helped you get that incredible 9 on listening?
Yeah, you know, I was fascinated with the first tips you the course gives us on listening. And you know, I'm a good English listener. I know that like receptive skills are usually a lot better than productive ones, like
sure.
writing and speaking. But like the get into it part of that first 5 minutes, even before the test, the listening test starts, when you are really focused and you're not thinking of anything other than really paying attention to what will be said already. Mm-hmm. I think that made the most difference. And also the anti-anxiety module, it actually helped me a lot, specifically in the listening test.
Interesting.
Yes, because for instance, I always practiced at home with headphones or without it. but never with any sort of external speaker, because it never crossed my mind that it was possible that the test would have it. I always... I had no idea. I was imagining like everybody would get their headphones, and so I was not worried about it. And then when I saw there was like this huge speaker in front of the test, I used the anti-anxiety module to like just chill and do my best.
Okay, Lucas, tell us, what part of the anti-anxiety module did you use? Like how were you able to sort of face that initial panic?
Yeah, like I guess that's the main one I took from it, and it's the one I kept in mind. It's like anticipating the problems you might have, or the parts of the test where you are most likely to experience anxiety. So everybody gets anxious about specific things. Not everybody is the same about it. And sure. I knew that in the listening part, I could hit a 9. I just needed to be focused. And I also knew that anything that wasn't as I thought it was going to be would bring me some anxiety. So just as I felt it, I remember I was like prepared for it, and I just ignored everything else and just kept paying attention.
That's so awesome. You know what? Just last week on the podcast, Lindsay and I were talking exactly about this. There was a listener that wrote in and saying that like he can't listen, like he can't face the listening exam without headphones. He get all about panic and fear and anxiety. And that's exactly the advice that we gave on the podcast. We were talking about, you know, practicing without headphones, and you need to try and make it test valid. But the biggest thing is facing the anxiety. I really don't think any other IELTS course has a whole module about anti-anxiety. So that is, I'm glad you mentioned that. That is something we're proud of. Okay.
Yes. I could definitely tell. I got at least 2 or 3 answers more than I would have. And the funny thing is that I thought about it like that, anticipating that not everything can be anticipated is right. One thing I got from it. So that's one thing you simply have to accept, that you can spend like 2 days anticipating all the anxiety, but there's always going to be one thing that you wasn't prepared for, and you just got to chill about it.
And like that's not just IELTS, that's life, right?
Yes.
Like there's always going to be something. I think there's a broader application for the anti-anxiety module. Okay, cool. Hello, amazing listeners. If you are ready to get access to the same strategies that helped Lucas achieve these amazing scores, get into 3 Keys IELTS today. Go to allearsenglish.com/keys. That's allearsenglish.com/KEYS. So let's talk about writing and speaking. Let's address speaking first. So listeners, you could obviously hear Lucas's high level, right? We know why he got such an amazing score on the speaking exam. Lucas, was there anything that you got from the course that you think especially helped you, like strategically on the listening exam to get the high score?
You mean the speaking?
Speaking, not listening, yes. Speaking.
Okay, so yes, I guess like the whole course is about giving you the skills and tools to perform your best. So as you're saying, like I do have advanced English, but I guess the listeners can tell also that my pronunciation is not always perfect. And we talked about it in the VIP lessons I had. And I had to work in the pronunciation and all. And this was a big part of the evolution I had during the month I was studying for the test. But also, I just follow like the specific strategy for part one and part three. Part three, mm-hmm. like in part three, like answering straight away, I knew yeah. that would give me the calm feeling that I need to like to give my opinion straight after. So sometimes I would just not just answer straight away, and during my practice, I saw that this was one thing that I was confusing myself with. But yeah, part two, I never thought about speaking less than 2 minutes. That was like impossible for me. I would never do it, even if I had nothing to speak about. I had that pretty clear in my mind, yes.
So you mentioned the pronunciation. What did you change? Guys, so when Lucas is talking about the VIP, there's an option in our course to have one-on-one classes with me, and then there are also power hours where students can meet with me and other candidates in the course. So Lucas, what advice did I give you that made you change your pronunciation in some way?
Well, I guess smiling is the first part of it. So if you like, just speak out and not inwards, you know, I guess everybody can feel, and they sometimes we're not aware of it, but we kind of know if we're speaking out like or to the world, or maybe like speaking like I'm speaking right now. So it has to do like with posture and a lot with how do you say, like presence, how you present yourself at the situation. So it's a lot in your mind, so how you feel at the moment. And I just practice speaking a lot. And yeah, like one thing I remember, I complimented you guys, you and Lindsay, about the courses that I through the trickies, I was able to get in touch with other resources like external websites, and in those I ended up finding like exercises specifically for improving pronunciation.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. So, Lucas is talking about the roadmap that Lindsay and I made. There's a 30-day and a 60-day plan, that gives you all the resources and organizes your time for you. Guys, if you're interested in getting this roadmap and getting the same advice and anti-anxiety tips that Lucas is talking about, you can go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS. Okay. Sweet. So tell me, Lucas, I'm curious, after the exam, how did you feel? Like, what score were you expecting to get?
You mean about speaking
specifically? Oh, did I say listening again? Oh my gosh.
No, you didn't say any of those, but I guess we're talking about the speaking still, is it?
For some reason, listening is stuck in my head. I don't know why.
No, it's all right.
Yeah. We're talking about speaking now. So yeah, after the speaking exam, it's the last part of the test. You're all finished, finally, with IELTS. And what did you feel like you were gonna get on the speaking exam?
You know, actually, I did a speaking before the exam. I did it in the morning, and I sit the exam in the afternoon, just a couple hours later.
Okay.
So it took me like 20 minutes or maybe 30 to stop thinking about it, because I knew I had to focus on what was coming for. But yes, like I told you in the email, and I even posted it in the Facebook group, that I will probably have to deal with this huge but small basic mistake I made. For instance, I said, I don't remember what I was talking about, but I said the words "more pretty."
Oh, no.
Yes. And then, of course, like, I knew I was wrong, but it took me like, I was already saying something else. I had already like begun a new sentence.
Yeah.
And for some reason at the time, I decided not to go back and fix it. So I was hoping the examiner would notice that, or maybe expected that I knew I was wrong. But yeah, I know it's not how it works. But I was kind of expecting a range between 7.5 and 8.5 because of this mistake. And yes, I knew I could have done a bit better. Maybe given a few linking words I had in my mind, but I didn't use at the time. I did good. It was good to have a good and smiley examiner as well.
Yeah, the examiner does make a difference, right? Like, sometimes people are faced with sort of like really mean looking, like serious people that like never smile. And I think that it has to affect the production of the candidate, right? Like the presence of the examiner does make a difference. So listeners, I really hope you get a nice smiley examiner as well. All right. So let's do just a couple last tips about writing. Okay. What do you think helped you the most?
Well, I guess number one is practicing, right? I have my writing notebook here, and it's pretty clear for anyone that reads it that how much I got better from one to another. So if you read the first texts I wrote, and you analyze the last ones, you see like how much less mistakes I did, and how many good. More high level vocab I was using. So awesome. Practice is, I guess you got to start with practicing as much as you can.
Yeah.
And, well, I like writing, and I've always been considered by my friends and family as a good writer. But I didn't have like the will to write two tests in a row, like one after another. So I would do like one every 2 days, and that's before. If you think that you're studying for like a month before the test, is quite a lot, and it's kind of enough. Yes.
All right. So your advice would be for students to do this every other day, or did you say twice a week or every other day?
Yeah, every other day, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. When you feel like it, you know, if you just put a little bit of effort on it, and you can always do like just task one if you don't feel like writing for 40 minutes. But yes, and the second thing is like to have pretty clear in your mind what's the strategy you're using. Because in my test, I got a task two that I've never written about. It was about advantages and disadvantages. But I didn't waste any time because I knew I had to write about advantages in the first paragraph and disadvantages in the second one, and just made my opinion clear. But I've never done. I did like maybe about 20 test two exercises.
Oh gosh, and you never came across the advantage disadvantage question.
No, yeah, maybe like one advantage along with a mixed question, but not a disadvantage. So like it's just the same case as the listening and the anxiety thing. You can't expect everything that's happening.
Yes, that's true. Guys, you have no idea not only which kind of question you're going to get, but what the topic is going to be. So we recently added the level up lesson to the writing module. And really the whole motivation for that was encouraging students to trust themselves and be flexible on the exam, right? Like you have the templates, you have the linking words, like you've learned all the tools you need to answer any question. Now it's just taking this knowledge and sort of internalizing it, right? Like being able to produce it yourself in a more flexible way that is appropriate, right? Using language, being flexible with the template, being able to have your own examples that you put in there, these strong ideas. So yeah, Lucas, I have read your writing, obviously. You were the wizard winner, and it's amazing. Like, you are an excellent writer. Okay, Lucas, do you think you might take the exam again? Like, are you going to, like, shoot for that 8?
I'm not sure. I'm, because of my writing, because I was really confident on it, I'm probably asking for a remark.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I think I'll wait for the result of it.
Yeah, sure.
And then think about it.
Yes. Okay. Well, Lucas, you are still in the Facebook group, and so you can still ask any questions that you have. And I'm curious about the remarks, so do let us know about that. Lucas, is there any last piece of advice that you could give our listeners today about exceeding their expectations on the IELTS exam?
Yes, I guess I could give like the practical explanation to the writing thing. That I think that sometimes we students, we are seeking like objective sentences of what to do. Like we're learning and learning. So for instance, in writing, what I did is like I wrote my opinion straight away. So what do I think about it? Because it was asking me like, do the disadvantages are more important than the disadvantages or anything like that.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wrote my opinion to make it clear for myself. And then I always wrote like paragraph 1, I'm writing this. Paragraph 2, I'm writing about that. And then you go from there. And yeah. I do have one last thing to say. I have to thank my mother because she paid for my test, and as I don't see her very often, I'm pretty sure she will be happy to hear her name. So thank you, Lucia.
Oh, big shout out, big hug to Lucia, Lucas's mom. Thank you. Oh, that was so sweet. I'm so happy you just said that. And she's totally gonna listen to this podcast, right?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I think that is a beautiful note to finish on. Thank you, Lucas.
Thank you,
Lucas, so much for coming on the show today. I think we have a lot of very useful advice for IELTS candidates in their preparation and their future exams. So let us know about the remark, but you already achieved amazing scores. All right, so that is it for us. Lucas, you have a wonderful day, and thanks again for coming on.
You too, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again, and see you soon.